If you are visiting with us, we've begun a new series. It's a series of Advent, and Advent comes from the Latin word meaning to come. And as we have begun this Christmas season, then we are preparing our hearts not only for the celebration of the birth of Christ, but it's also a reminder that his coming is to come again. And so we want to make sure that we are prepared and ready in our hearts as he prepares to come back again. And so we have this season of Advent, and we're so glad to share with it. We've begun the series called The Star. And last week we talked about the star as being the one that led the wise men to the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be talking about his love. But I want to check with you first. How many of you have already been Christmas shopping? How many of you have chosen to do it all online? Yeah, some of you have. All right, a number of you have. Well, we shared about Christmas shopping last week, and I came across this story and wanted to share it with you this morning. The scene was a Saturday morning, and there was two couples who were spending some time together, and Meg and Molly, two best friends, decided they were going to go off and do some Christmas shopping, and Steve and Tom, their husbands, decided they were going to go out fishing instead. And so Steve and Tom headed out, and they had no awareness of the weather report for that day, and as they got out of the boat, they began realizing it's a little bit rougher than they had anticipated, and the waves began crashing against the sides of the boat, and then finally, with one big swell, it crested over the boat, knocking Steve out of the boat. Tom was left inside, and for an eternity, it looked like Steve was lost forever, but suddenly, Steve comes up from the ocean depths, and he's wiping the salt water off his face and says, "Whew, it's getting rough out here." Tom looked at him coolly and said, "I know, but it sure beats a day of Christmas shopping." A bad day fishing is better than a good day of Christmas shopping for many people, said amen. You know, Christmas time of year is that time where we do spend a lot of money. And do you know, last year in America, we spent over $1 trillion between November and December. No wonder the stores put out Christmas displays in October. For them, it's the happiest time of the year. Amen? Yeah. $1 trillion. That's an incredible amount of money. You have to ask the question, what could we do with $1 trillion? But I'm going to throw another number out at you. $60 billion. That's a lot of zeros. That's a lot of cash. That's a lot of money. Do you know what we spent $60 billion on last year? Our pets. $60 billion on our pets last year. And I want to think about this for a little bit. It's just like $60 billion. And some people say, you know, why would you do that? Because they really haven't done anything for you yet. And you go out and you purchase these pets, and then you love them and you care for them and you groom them and you feed them and you walk them and you take care of them, and you pay $60 billion for the privilege of doing this. Why? I'll tell you why. For love. I don't know anybody who couldn't just hold a little tiny puppy in their hands and not just feel something for them. And I know this doesn't exactly translate, so let's kind of move on a little bit and think about, for those of you who are parents or those of you who are grandparents, and the first time the doctor turns and he hands you your first child or your first grandchild and says, "Here's your child." I remember when my son was born, he was the first, and the doctor turned, or the nurse turned, to hand my son to me, and he was only about this big. I thought, look at me, don't give me a child. Come on, you know, aren't you supposed to have a license for this or something? But I'm not the most gifted of individuals, and so I was like, I might drop him. He might break. I was afraid. And yet, as soon as he placed him into my arms, something else happened. Anybody know what that is? The Heisman. Yeah, they did it this way. All right. I digress. But it was almost like that's what I was doing. I was holding him so close to me, and I was putting my stiff arm out, as in, don't come near. Something happened inside of me that I went from being a husband to being a husband and a father. And this was my child. And I don't even want to begin to think about how much we spent on our children last year. That's probably more of that $1 trillion number. But the point is, we do it out of love. And the question I want to ask of you this morning, if we as parents, as imperfect people, know how to love in this way, how much more the love of a holy and a divine God has for his people. That's why at Christmas time we can celebrate Christmas, not only for the sending of Christ into the world, but because of his love for us and his desire to be with us. We were created out of love, for love. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, I love this message because I get to tell you how much God loves you. And we heard from the tailors earlier as they were lighting the candles about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means all y'all, whosoever, anyone who believes in Jesus, accepts him as Lord and Savior, will be saved for all of eternity. That's how much our God loves us. So today we're going to take a look at the Gospel of John. This is one of my favorite Gospels, so much so that I named my son John. And we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 12. And John is different from the other Gospel writers. There's something different about him, and his whole theme is really about love, and even so much so, he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so for John, love is first and foremost, and listen to what he wrote. Chapter 1, verses starting 1 through 12. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not understood it. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's take a look at our outline this morning. So the first thing we need to see when we read this passage, and I'll tell you, some years ago when I was in youth, I was a part of a play, and I was the disciple John. And I got to be able to recite, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made with him, and without him, nothing was made. It means that Christ was there at the very beginning. So there was love from the start. Love from the start. In Genesis, we are told that God created the world, and the big Hebrew term for this is ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. He created everything that we see. And it also says that the Spirit was there hovering over the waters. And so the Spirit was with him. And now through the Gospel of John, we begin to get more and more of the details about how the world was created. God spoke it into existence, but he spoke it into existence through his Son. And so this morning, I want to share with you this theological thought about the pre-existent Christ. There was never a time in which he was not. And so many of us, we celebrate 2,000 years ago as Christmas and thinking that God chose to have a son 2,000 years ago. Most people don't understand that Christ was there at the beginning of the world. And that's exactly what John is trying to tell us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is capitalized. And he begins to tell us and unfold that Jesus is the Word. And so the Word was there in the beginning with God. And through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. And so we begin to piece together this Trinitarian thought of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they were there at the beginning. Jesus didn't just show up 2,000 years ago. He always was, always has been. I don't want to just even bring this thought to your mind. There's two separate ways that we divide our time, our history. And the first part of it is BC, which stands for before Christ. And then the second part is AD, which stands for, I always hear it, because I grew up hearing this as well. In America, we say after death. But actually, it comes from the Latin Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. So our history has been divided in two segments, before Jesus and then after Jesus. But if we have a pre-existent Christ, then there was never a time in which he was not. And why it's important for us to get this and to understand this is to fully appreciate and understand his divinity as well as his humanity. It was only 2,000 years ago that he was incarnate, which means to come in the flesh. We sing, O come, Emmanuel. In Isaiah, it talks about Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel means God with us. And so now as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate his birth into this world. Not his beginning, just his incarnation into the world. And so it's important for us to begin to see that there was a relationship at the very beginning. And that relationship was love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everything that was created out of love. You and I were created out of love for love. And so if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to know God knows you. Psalm 139 says he knitted us together in our mother's wombs. He knows you intimately and he cares about you and he loves you. And what I want you to hear is love was there at the very start. We were created out of love and for love. Number two is love is the light. And I want to capitalize the L for light because that also stands for the person of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the light of the star that showed the way for the Magi and all who were coming to see Christ. Those who were coming to see him followed this light that led them to the place where he was. And now here in the Gospel of John, starting with verse 6, and I want you to know when John talks about John, he's not talking about himself in the third person. He's actually talking about John the Baptist here. And he says, there came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came as only a witness to the light. In other words, they sent John as a front runner, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the town crier. He was the one that was sharing the prophecies about the coming of Christ. Prepare your hearts. He's coming. He's coming. And so then in verse 8, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And the true light was that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And that light, there's life in the light and the light of Jesus Christ. And so love manifested itself from God through Jesus, his son, to become incarnate, to be the light of the world. And he stands brightly and as a beacon to draw all people to himself and into his family. I've shared with you before that I've had the opportunity to go to Israel some time ago and it was incredible to stand over one of the hills, overlooking the valley that led into Jerusalem. And to think that this is like one of the places where Jesus would have stopped and said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks. And his heart was breaking because he came and the people did not know him. They did not recognize him. And all he wanted to do, and that's what I want to share, is the light and the love of Jesus Christ. And it hurts his heart when people do not receive him. But the love is always there. It's given for you and for me. And sometimes when we're honest with ourselves, we begin to question God's love. There have been times in my life where I've been angry with God. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you say, yeah, there was a time when either I didn't believe or maybe I was frustrated with God. Why didn't he do what I wanted him to do? I've known of people who have walked away from God because he didn't answer their prayer the way that they wanted him to answer their prayer, and so they become frustrated. But I want you to hear the sovereignty of God in such a way that there is a mystery in the way that he works in our world. But don't ever be confused that he doesn't do everything that he does out of love. And so I want to share this story with you, is if you have failed as I have failed, that the love is always there for us. And it comes from the grandson of one of our parishioners, and I was speaking with her this week, and she was telling me that one day he came home from, I believe he's elementary school, just a young guy, and she could see that he was upset. I said, buddy, what's going on? What's wrong? And he didn't say anything. He was just trying to figure out the words to say it. And she said, buddy, what's going on? I can see you're upset. What's going on? And finally he said, it's my head. My mind knows what I'm supposed to do, but my head won't let me do it. And it became a teachable moment. She said, buddy, everybody feels like that at some point. In fact, there was a man named Paul who lived a long time ago who felt exactly that same way. And he wrote it down in the Bible for us. It comes from Romans chapter 7. And it's when Paul, out of his heart, just pours out before God and everybody else and making the confession and saying, why do I do the very things that I don't want to do and the very things I want to do, I don't do? How many of you have known what to do and you didn't do it? How many knew what you weren't supposed to do and you did it anyway? We're imperfect people. We're humans. And yet what I want you to hear this morning is even when we've made mistakes, and I'll say anytime we've been angry with God, it's because we did not understand him. We didn't understand the way he was working in our lives. We didn't understand the way that he was working in the world. But what I want you to always hear and know is understand how much God loves us, and everything is done for us, whether we appreciate it, whether we realize it or not. But I'm also grateful that our eternal life doesn't depend on how good we are. Listen to the scripture that comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world out of love. He didn't wait for us to get right. He didn't wait for us to love him. It was the pouring out of his heart and love for the world that he sent his one and only son. You've heard me say it before. What kind of nails can hold a God to a tree? None but the nails of love. Jesus, love as the light of the world. And all who come to him have abundant life, have eternal life forevermore. Amen. And finally, number three is that love overflows. How many of you love your families? How many of you love to see them come? How many love to see them go? How many of them are sitting next to you so you don't want to raise your hand? Yeah, it's already happened. Yeah, I know, they're already here. But yeah, it was actually Benjamin Franklin who said, fish and guests both stink after 3 days. And sometimes you can't wait to get there. You can't wait to get to the home. And then you see your friends and your family and extended family, and it's great. And then 3 days later, it's like, okay, you know what? I need my private time. I need my bathroom back. I need my house back. I want you out of my refrigerator. And God bless you, but have a great time. We'll see you next year, you know. Yet that's the imperfect kind of love we have, because we're human beings. And we have these fallen bodies, and we have our routines, and getting out of our routine kind of messes us up. And I so know some of you who are perfect people, and you just love all your family members, even the weird ones. You love them all, and you hate to see them go. And God bless you for that, because you've already experienced a supernatural love of God. For the rest of us, we're still human beings. We love to see them come, love to see them go. But what I want to talk to you about is not the imperfect kind of love that we have. What I want to talk to you about is about the perfect love that comes from our Heavenly Father. In the Greek, it's called the agape love. It's called unconditional love, which means it doesn't depend on us. He just loves us anyway. I want to encourage you, if you haven't said it to your children, say there's nothing you could do or not do that would make me love you any less. I will always love you because you are my child. And if we who are imperfect know how to say that and to feel that way, to experience it, then how much more the love of God. And what I will talk about today is this love that overflows. And yesterday in our celebration of life service, we got to share the 23rd Psalm. And many of you know that one by heart. And about God being as the shepherd and leading us beside the still waters and keeping us safe from our enemies. But then David talks about his cup overflows. And I want you to think about that, the overflowing love of God. The more time we spend with him. Remember, I told you, anytime you're frustrated or angry with God, it's because you don't know God. You don't understand him. And you're grasping and you're trying to understand God. It's okay to say, God, I don't get it. God, I don't understand, but I still believe in you, I still trust in you, and I still believe that your love is the best thing for me. So, Father, help me to endure what I'm going through at this time. That's okay. But it's understanding that love of God who desperately wants to be with us. There's a song that even talks about heaven couldn't imagine, or God couldn't imagine heaven without us. And so he sent his one and only son into the world that every one of us would be gifted by grace into heaven and to everlasting life. And so the more we begin to understand about God, the more time we spend in worship, the more time we spend in Bible study, the more time we spend in prayer, then the overflowing love of God begins to flow from the inside out, from inside of us and then out to other people. And what I want to invite each and every one of us as we continue on this Christmas journey, as this season to come to the place of the birth of Christ, but also that place where he's coming back to life into our hearts, that we would accept the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, that we might have everlasting life forevermore, and that we would spend more and more time with our Heavenly Father, allowing his love to wash over us, to fill us up from the inside out so that it overflows, so that his love overflows from us so much that it would also be a beacon, the light of his love for the world.